The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money.
Welcome to Money Admission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on the foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and your things are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? Your mission, right? That's really what you feel called to in your heart. There's so much peace of mind that comes when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there is a lot of anxiety that happens when you sense that that alignment really isn't taking place.
That's right, James. It's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
That's right. And when you are confused or scared, you don't make good decisions. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
That can keep you from being all that God really wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well.
That's right.
Well, welcome to another episode of Money in Mission. I am James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And part of the way through the show, we'll get to our weekly puzzler. Our weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's a puzzle that we share with you. And we don't know if the puzzler will actually be interesting to you, but they haven't thrown us off the radio yet for sharing these puzzles.
So, they haven't been that bad. They're getting better.
They're getting better. Yeah, we'll keep practicing. Every single week, we'll have another puzzler, and we'll keep working at getting those better and better over time.
That's right. Well, in the first part of our show, it's our week in review. So, James, what did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. As I was really just thinking about all of the stuff flowing through the financial headlines, I recognized a problem. And that is that most of the things that we see coming across the headlines and things that we've been talking about in a week in review, these are things that most people have absolutely no control over.
Right.
What an awesome feeling, isn't it?
We're all keeping our eyes on it, though, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. All this stuff coming at you, and you just can't do anything about it, or very little anyway. But I guess my thought is that if there's only one thing that you take away from our week in review discussions, I hope you'll remember that while you can't change the details that are going on in the world around you, you can work to maintain a financial position for yourself, your business, if you're heading up a charity, the organization that you work with, you can work to maintain a financial position that is built on sound principles.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've been talking about things like consumer price indexes and producer price index, employment and unemployment. These are the details that change around us.
Mm-hmm.
The principles are something different entirely, right? I think I saw, Eric, in your notes, where was the verse? It was in Proverbs 22, wasn't it, where it was talking about, you had looked up that verse. I saw it just a couple of minutes ago, but it talked about maintaining a good name,
mm-hmm,
and how a good name is more important than great riches.
Right. Yeah, emphasizing that, you know, building a reputation for integrity and financial prudence, that's so crucial. And,
right.
You know,
and
foresight and preparation. It's about, like, foreseeing evil, taking shelter applies to financial matters. It's about having an emergency fund, you know, diversifying. It's about being prepared for the economic storms.
That's right. That's right. So those principles, you know, you can't change how things develop in the world around you. But you can really take steps to be in good stead from a principled standpoint.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should just let everyone know that this week feels a little strange, right? Because I'm actually working from home today with a bout of COVID going on. And so, you know, I can't change that detail. And the fact that you are sitting there in the Holy Family Radio studio and I'm sitting at my desk looking out at the Yellow Breeches Creek, that's a detail. But we practiced and we have, you know, some things that we want to share in this segment. And so that's kind of like the principle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't change the details, but we can work at being in a good position built on principle. Again, these topics that we talk about and topics that you hear coming at you on the financial news could really be divided into three basic categories as it relates to economic statistics, or as they're called, economic indicators.
Mm-hmm.
There are leading economic indicators, and then there are what's called coincident indicators, and then there are lagging indicators. Now, if you happen to be listening to this podcast and we meet you in person, you know, several weeks in the future, there will be a quiz on everything that we're getting ready to share here today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's kick off and talk about the leading economic indicators. You had noted, I think, in one of the notes that you made, Eric, that there is actually an organization called the Conference Board.
Mm-hmm.
And had you had an opportunity to look up the Conference Board at all?
Yeah, they publish a composite index of 10 leading indicators. It has a good track record of predicting economic turning points, and you can get some recent trends out of reading those reports. So that is a good resource for folks to look up.
Yeah, really, what they do is they take each one of those 10. As they're called, leading indicators, and they assign a different weight each one.
Mm-hmm.
So leading indicators are things like the average work week. The thought there really is that if people are working short weeks, that means that their employers don't have very much for them to do, and eventually that translates into less spending power because people are earning less.
Mm-hmm.
So the average length of a work week is a leading economic indicator. Then you have, like, the Institute of Supply Management, Purchasing Managers Index, and New Orders Index. We've talked about that before here. Consumer sentiment.
Yeah.
And then manufacturers' new orders as it relates to things that people consume.
Yeah, I mean, when people feel good about the economy, they're more likely to buy that new car or appliance, which would boost economic activity. And that, you know, that's the emotional side of economics.
That's right. That's right.
Have you heard of the misery index before?
Is that kind of what I'm feeling right now because I have COVID?
Yeah, I'd say that's an accurate one, but it's a different misery index where they add up the unemployment rate and the inflation rate. And it's just a quick way to gauge how people are feeling about the economy.
Yeah, no, I the other misery index might be if you consume too much of the ingredients in the Big Mac index. that would lead to some misery as well. But But no, I'm sorry, I keep getting off track. But the misery index is you're right. I mean, it's as you said, maybe a quick and dirty way, to gauge how people are feeling about the, and high misery equals unhappy people, which means not as much spending.
That's right. And that's not good down the line. Like you said, housing starts as a leading indicator. You know, when those permits are granted out, that goes down the chain. Contractors are hired, supplies and materials are purchased, and so on and so on. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. So these are all leading indicators, which means that when things happen there, then the domino effect occurs and it shows up later, and then the economy begins to change from there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a coincident indicator then is the kind of thing that when it changes, it changes kind of in sync with economic conditions, right? So manufacturing and trade sales, for example. Well, if we say that manufacturing sales are down, or payrolls, if people are getting laid off and they're not making as much money, if production is down, the number of cars that are being produced or the number of anything that's being manufactured, if things are down, you know, people would say, oh, that's no real surprise. The economy is already bad, so we know that. And so, you know, these kinds of statistics tend to show up in sync with economic conditions.
Right.
So the other indicator, though, the other type of indicator is a lagging indicator, and that is the kind of statistic that happens as a result of either good or bad economic conditions. And that's where the consumer price index shows up, the amount of credit that people have related to their personal incomes, the average duration that people spend in being unemployed, and so on and so forth. These are things that change after economic conditions change. So, again, while we can't change the details of what's going on in the world around us, having a good understanding of those topics generally help us to maybe position our investment portfolios.
Right.
It can also help us keep in a good general financial position overall, and structure business plans accordingly as well.
That's right. Well, we're going to have to take a break now to hear about some of our supporters, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. If there is only one thing that you take away from today's podcast, we hope that you'll remember that understanding how money and financial concepts work together can make you or break you.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about that before.
That's right. It seems like it's this recurring theme. But we'll say it over again because it is such a big deal, right? And financial literacy is just huge. Our special guest today is Jennifer Ostrander. Say hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, that's right.
Jennifer, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
That's right. Everybody can see you over there in the corner.
I'm waving.
Oh, this is the radio. That's right. That's right. Jennifer is the Pennsylvania Community Outreach Coordinator for Compass Financial Ministry and the Chief Operating Officer for a registered investment advisor firm called Turning Point.
That's right.
That's right. So thanks so much for carving a little space out of your day to join us, Jennifer.
I'm so happy to be here. This is my favorite topic, so you'll have to rein me in. I get a little excited. I can talk all day. So.
That's right. Financial literacy.
Yay!
Such a big deal, right? So help us understand what financial literacy actually is.
Yeah, that's a good word that people like to throw around, but it's like, what does it really actually mean?
Right.
So if you're financially literate, you are well-versed in your finances. You understand how money works, and you also understand how it affects every aspect of your life. Because if you were to take a pause and actually sit down and think all the different things that you do, all the relationships that you have, and money touches every single piece of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So you're well-versed, as you said. Mm-hmm. That means you're financially literate. There was a study I saw as we were prepping for our conversation today that more than half, it seems like, of all adults in our country today just aren't financially literate.
That's right. And I think that raise your hand.
Raise your hand. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I honestly, truly believe that number's even higher, you know, that we all have something to learn. And it's a touchy subject because it touches a lot of emotions, right? There's a lot of shame. And I mm-hmm. should know, but I don't know. You can have a conversation with somebody about a budget. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, yeah, I should do a budget. Yeah, it's really, really important. But then you try to say, okay, now tell me where to start. Tell me where you would start. And you can see just like the frozen deer and, you know, headlights. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. That's the most common thing that I heard. And it really became prevalent for me when I stepped out on my own and started taking my many years of professional experience in the accounting and operations roles throughout the years. And I started stepping out into the consulting world and said, hey, I'm going to take all this experience and knowledge and I'm going to share it with all these business owners. Mm-hmm. And it was heartbreaking sometimes to see these wonderful people who have joy doing the service, building their widget, but they just have no real concept of understanding finances, and then throw in the added layer of running a business and they're struggling.
Which means there's a lot of people out there mm-hmm. who are running businesses, who are, you know, got this stuff. Maybe they're running charities too, even, right?
Absolutely. You're talking about the profit world, the for-profit world, the nonprofit world. And let's face it, your household is a business, right? So it's the same basic principles. You know, the numbers can get bigger, you know, or smaller.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, right? We're talking about folks who are later stage in life. They have different things going on. And just now they're starting to really get those fundamentals. It kind of blows my mind that they don't teach this in school. Or to the younger grades, helping them get financial literate, even on the fundamentals. That way, when they get out there and they're running businesses, they're running charities, there's a lot more at stake once you get there. And I think it's kind of not too late. It can be fixed, but you can do a lot of damage.
Yes. And so we're in the mindset now, especially in this day and age where, oh, well, you know, I can pull it up on my phone and my phone tells me what to do and what to think and how to feel. So and whatever my phone says, therefore it must be true. So if my bank balance says,
then you get an ad for a credit card pop up.
Yeah, exactly. And so if my bank balance on my phone says, therefore it must be true. But because you don't understand how money works in the banking industry, you don't understand ACHs, you don't understand the bigger picture, you get a false sense of where you are financially. It just can snowball from there. So there it just you end up in this hole. Right. And you don't know how to get out. And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Which, James, is your famous.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, that's
exactly right.
Exactly.
So you know, you're referencing, you know, what you see on your phone and so on and so forth. But let's say, you know, you've accumulated a sizable nest egg, you know, maybe millions of dollars and you know, you have a good investment portfolio and your business is really successful. How does financial literacy work there?
So me from like a business standpoint or from like the personal standpoint?
Well, either. I mean, let's go from the personal standpoint and just say, you know, you've accumulated a lot of stuff and you feel like you're in pretty good shape. And so that doesn't really feel like It doesn't feel there isn't a pain point there, right, in terms of not knowing. You open your phone and all the numbers are there.
Right. Well, and ignorance is bliss, right?
That's right.
You don't know what you don't know. So because you're not tracking what's coming in and what's going out, and that's just the basics of, mm-hmm. you know, financial record keeping is knowing what's coming in and what's going out and where it's going and what it's going to. Well, now we're starting to dive into the conversation of what are your core values?
Right.
What are your beliefs?
And is your money really doing that for you?
Right. Is your money in mission?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it aligned with your core values? Where are you spending? And again, big picture of how money works, understanding businesses. Are you giving your money to businesses that are aligned with your core values?
Right.
You know, and that's the people you're giving your money for your cell phone and so forth.
Yeah.
You want to know if you're not keeping track of that, then how? You have no idea.
You're leaving
it to someone else, like the credit card company, to show you that pretty little statement pie graph on the last page of where you spent your money. You know, and if we come back to what the Bible says and what God says, mm-hmm. What's our part? You know, what are mm-hmm. we supposed to be doing? What is He supposed to be doing? You know, God is going to provide for us. But it's up to us to do our part, and we have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And the work is, you know, it's not fun, you know, but I try to make it fun.
That's right.
But if you do that, if you put in the hard work and you're tracking where your money's going, now you're starting to actually have a good conversation with your spouse or your children or your family or your community.
Or your business partner
right. about, hey, what are we going to do with this money? Let's put this money to work. What are our beliefs and what is our mission?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting into that journey to generosity.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, and being literate like that, too, as mm-hmm. as we said, really understanding what money is and how it's working together. We've been talking several episodes ago here. We were talking about defining success
mm-hmm.
and having specific and measurable goals.
Yeah, the S and SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
I guess writing it down.
That's right. I guess it just feels to me like if financial literacy, like if you don't understand how money really works together. And how different financial products work and so on and so forth, then how can you possibly define success, right? How can you possibly be on mission if you don't understand how those different things work together?
Right. There's no goal. There's no, you know, your budget is your measuring stick,
mm-hmm.
right? That you're going to,
yeah.
right?
That you don't have a finish line, right?
Right. You don't have a finish line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still, I love that one. So you need a budget because you need to have a measuring stick to say, these are my milestones. This is what I say I'm going to do. It's also your accountability measurement as well. You know, and you need that accountability partner, whether it's it could be someone, a consultant, you know, it could mm-hmm. be yes. one of us from Compass Financial Ministries. We can serve as your accountability partner
mm-hmm.
to help walk you through this path.
Right. Now you're using the B word. Budget, right? And is there ever a spot? Is it the kind of thing where you just, you know, you work and work and you get more and more successful and at some point you just don't need a budget?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, that was
a very quick response,
that was
wasn't
pretty
it?
Clear. That's right.
So I've been blessed. I'm so grateful. Life has been much of a struggle. But I have had blessings in my life where God has put people in my path, and there was one that rang so true, and it was working with someone who was worth a lot of money, very wealthy, and one of the best things he ever told me was, he said, Jen, I never stopped budgeting and analyzing my finances any differently today than when I made $50,000 a year.
Mm.
It rang for me.
That's right.
And I never forgot it.
That's right. Well, we're talking today with Jennifer Ostrander about financial literacy, but we do want to cover our weekly puzzler because I think last week we missed it.
Yeah, that's sorry, right. everybody.
That's right. But from
we're back with the answer if it was bothering you that bad.
That's right. If it was 2 weeks ago, though, mm-hmm. our weekly puzzle was, if it has a 1 gallon capacity, how many pennies could you put into an empty piggy bank?
A 1 gallon capacity.
1 gallon.
How many pennies can you put in an empty piggy bank? Joe, do you got this one? No, you're at a loss.
One. Drawing a blank.
Yep, it is one.
One.
That's the answer.
Because after you put that one penny in, the piggy bank is no longer empty.
I had a problem with that one. Because I thought of that as soon as I read it. I was like, well, no, it's empty before. So
okay. All right.
That one's not too bad, though.
People keep telling me, James, where do you come up with these questions?
A list of 1,700 that he has in his office.
That's right. That's right. So this week's puzzler.
Yes. This week is pick one out and scratch its head. What once was red is black instead. What is it? I'll repeat. Pick one out and scratch its head. What once was red is black instead.
What is it?
That's right. Send your submissions to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. That's radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. And we need to take a quick break here. Thanks for tuning in. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jennifer about how the topic started growing on her and something that she felt called to in her life. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on the foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Our guest today is Jennifer Ostrander, and we're talking about financial literacy.
That's correct.
At the risk of tangential, I had a real, during the break, I had a question about that, how many pennies can you put in that empty piggy bank?
Mm-hmm.
I think the pennies are brown.
Well, then you wouldn't get as much money for them.
I wouldn't.
According to the collector's grading standard.
Why?
Well, remember the sheet from a couple weeks ago? The collectors, they classify them red, brown, or brown.
Right.
And the most expensive ones are red. And as they get browner and browner, they've been in circulation longer and they're not as valuable.
A red set.
A red-ish colored,
red-ish,
copied.
Yeah.
Now zinc coated. Copper-coated zinc.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay.
I had to do my research.
Yeah, you had to do your research. Good job. Somebody send in a note and tell Eric he did a great job.
Radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
That's exactly right. Okay. Anyway, our guest today is Jennifer Ostrander. And, you know, Jennifer, we were talking about financial literacy and how, you know, you're involved in teaching really on this topic. How did this start really growing on you as something that was a passion, really?
Oh, that's a loaded question with a really long story, but let's condense it down here a little bit. And so as I mentioned before, I've been very blessed with a wonderful professional career. I've had the pleasure of working alongside and being mentored by some fantastic individuals. I am pretty much self-taught by these individuals I worked with, which always just kind of kept me in this accounting, you know, world. I have great set of parents, James, as you know. Mm. I will give them all the credit along with God. But yeah, it was a lot of mom and dad laying a really solid foundation of biblical stewardship, of understanding the core values and what God tells us our responsibilities are, and laying that really good foundation with me. And when my career progressed and I said, I'm going to go out on my own and be a consultant, and, you know, life is going so great. Oh boy, does he just bring you down to your knees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went through a season of life where, you know, my marriage failed. I was not healthy, both physically, unknowingly, I wasn't healthy. And then financially not healthy. So now, which leads to bad decision making. After bad decision making, after bad decision making, and then one day,
and there's some emotion that goes with that.
Oh, right? There's lots.
That's part of your intro, James, for the show.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's lots of emotions with that, but I will say that while I'm in this, you know, this dark, you know, rather dark place, I'm just so grateful that I had that foundation to look back upon and say, okay, who am I and how did I get here? Mm-hmm. Because this is not somebody that I recognize outside or inside. Mm-hmm. And stepping back and saying, coming back to that spiritual root to say, okay, you know what? I've let too much of the wrong stuff in here. Mm-hmm. And walking that path of humility and saying, okay, I got to lay it at his feet. Mm-hmm. And I got to empty it all out because nothing good is going to grow here if I don't get rid of the bad.
Right.
And it was really a season of, you know, reflection and deep inner looking at, you know, what was my part, you know, what was my part on how I got here, and then turning into, okay, now how do I get out? And again, thankfully, I have these wonderful parents who struggled financially too when I was young. And you know, my dad brought me downstairs and said, okay, kid, we made some bad decisions and here's where we're at. And we're going to have to file bankruptcy. Mm. We're going to have to make some really tough decisions. And guess what, guys? You can live without TV. I'm going to date myself. You can live without cable. Okay. For you young kids, you can live without a cell phone. I promise you the world will keep turning.
You always get a set of bunny ears.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah,
there was a cable that ran from the neighbor's house to the splitter. Yeah. So don't worry. We got it going. But, you know, for a time being, it was hard decisions. So mm-hmm. I immediately fell back on that time and said, okay, I got to make hard decisions and I got to really think about what's important and reprioritize and come back to those core values.
That's
and
right.
Make sure that those are values that are aligned with God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, you were raised with great values, but that's only half the equation here, right? Where or how do you feel that you gained your financial literacy early on?
So my first job, actually fresh out of high school, it was a temp job. I was living in Georgia at the time, and I was with the Georgia Public Service Commission, which in Pennsylvania equates to DGS, Department of General Services. It coincided with their audit. So as a new person, temp worker, I was basic clerical. They said, hey, go work for her. You're her gopher. Basically, you just do whatever she tells you to do. This lady was amazing. She was a unbelievable CPA. She had just stepped off of the audit for the U.S. Postal Service, the federal audit.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, yes, they've been in trouble for quite some time, since 1993. I worked with her. I worked alongside her. She was so giving with information. She was a serving heart, mm-hmm. right? And she was just like, here's what I need. And then here's how you go find it. And when I would come back, she would say, now this is what I'm doing with it. So she really got me curious. So it's like, oh, she's putting a puzzle together. This is awesome. This is fun and intriguing. And you're investigating and you're doing analysis. And for me, it just went with my natural abilities. So from there, it just built from there and just continued on. And I just kind of kept finances always tell a story. Right?
Every number tells a story.
That's mm-hmm. correct. That's behind right. every single one of those numbers is a story, and it's directly linked to your past, your present, and your future.
And your future.
So what do you want that story to say?
Yeah.
What do
and,
you
And that's really where personal decisions come into play, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, so you learned a lot in personal experience, but then you started learning from other people as well. How did you get connected then with Compass? How did the story go from the personal story to now, as we said earlier, Compass and really kind of being a community coordinator really in that?
So Eric, I don't know if you know this guy named James.
I've met him a couple times.
Met him once or twice. So I've known James for quite a while, and I'm in his office, and I'm telling him about all these things that are going on in my life, of course. And I'm just like, people need to know. People need to understand money. And this is really, I'm now seeing that, you know, part of that reflection period was, I know God has a purpose for me, right? That's ingrained in me in beginning. But what is that purpose? So that season that I went through was trying to figure out what that purpose was. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, well, I've had this amazing career and I've had these life struggles. I know God didn't put me through those struggles for no reason, no. Right? It's always for a purpose. And you and I were talking, and all of a sudden you pulled out this book called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And he probably has it sitting right there. Yes,
is that
he
this
does.
One? Yeah, it's sitting right here.
It would
right
be
here.
That one. That's right there. And I flipped it. And I had gone to a couple other, you know, courses or what have you. I was doing some research. And he opened that book, and he flipped to the roadmap that's in that book. And I was like, that's what I'm looking for. And the reason why it rang for me so clearly was because it's all based on what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. What does God starts off with? What does God tell us about money and possessions?
A lot. The most talked about topic.
Yes. Yep. And let's start there. And that foundation is now rock solid. And then you can build upon that. Mm-hmm. But until you figure that out, until you walk that season and that moment of your journey, it's really hard. You can't understand why nothing works, right? You keep trying, you keep doing, oh, this app. Oh, you know what? I got that so-and-so app. Yeah, that's going to fix everything. No, it doesn't, because you haven't done the real work. And it's a process, and it takes a lot of... you got to be honest. Mm-hmm. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with God. You got to be honest with your spouse or your family, mm-hmm. Your accountability buddy.
That's right. Right? That's right.
And that's really hard. And a lot of people the biggest thing I hear is they just don't know where to begin.
Yeah. And a book like that is really helpful. In our next segment, we'll be talking more about some practical steps that people can take to get started. But so this was the book. Just, you know, talk a little bit more about Compass.
So show me the book. I got really excited.
Yeah. And how did you connect with the people at Compass?
I went to the website.
Yeah.
It was so funny. James, I left your office. I went home. I literally jumped on the website. They had a contact us form. I filled it out. I don't even know how. It was almost within a day or two. Gary, who is kind of the regional guy down in Kentucky, he reached out to me. It was actually around Christmas time, because I think I was visiting mom and dad, staying with mom and dad for Christmas. And him and I talked, for almost 2 hours. And I talked about basically just what was on my heart. I'll be honest with you, I cried. Like, I just poured it all out to him. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm supposed to be doing. He said, Jenny, I think the same thing. George connected me, Gary connected me with George, who is the manager of Compass PA. So like we kind of handle we're the affiliate for the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then him and I got to talking about how can we reach out to our community and bring this message.
Yeah. Yeah. So Compass is actually, there's an organization.
It is an international global organization that is just on fire all over the place. It's kind of a well-known secret, I think.
Yeah.
Or a best-kept secret.
Best-kept secret. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's affiliates in many states across the country, and then as well as national. I just went to I went to the national conference. I didn't know anybody. And I was just like, I know this is where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And I went to Florida for the national conference, where I met people from Egypt and India and all kinds of every country in Africa, multiple countries from Africa, Ghana, it was amazing. And
people from all over the world with the same passion and the same vision of navigating finances God's way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just an awesome thing to see and to be part of. I was humbled to be part of that. And to see where it's and then it just solidified too that I was on the right path, you know.
Well, it's been an interesting, it's been exciting to watch that story, Jen, and we do need to take a break here. You are listening to Holy Family Radio, right?
WHYF AM 720.
We'll take a break and be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Our guest today is Jennifer Ostrander, and we're talking about financial literacy. And what a powerful story, Jennifer, you bring to the podcast here today. But, you know, we've been talking about the problem and some of the issues that happen when there isn't financial literacy, and we want to give people some good action steps to take to grow their own financial literacy. You know, the first action step that I had noted here was to surround yourself with good advisors who share and support your values. But then you kind of noted that influencers, this term influencers, is maybe bigger than just advisors, right?
Right, because we let all kinds of influencers into our life, whether we realize it or not. There's these little voices, right, coming at us all day long. Social media is pinging us all day long, and text messages, and, you know, the podcasts that we listen to, and the TV that we have on in the background. Mm-hmm. You know, we're letting all of those voices in. And when I'm working with someone and they're very overwhelmed, we were talking about those emotions, and we're talking about they're feeling very overwhelmed, and they really don't know where to begin. One of the first things I ask them to do is turn that noise off. Turn everything off.
That's good.
Give me, you know, and for some of them, it's that causes more anxiety.
Right,
you know,
that's right.
I literally had to ask one lady to give me 48 hours. I said, stay off of Facebook for 48 hours. And she came back to me. I knew this was going to happen, but she came back to me and she's like, that's the best 2 days I have had in a long time.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Because you just don't realize how much noise, negative noise you're letting in.
And how cluttered and it kind of fills up, hey, do this, do that and everything. And then that turns into what you do with your money.
Yes. It does, because it's all instant, right? We're in this fast-paced world, and we got to do and we got to react. And I'm a big advocate of pause. I love creating pause because we need to give God time to work.
Mm.
And God's on a different time schedule than we are, right?
Yeah. Amen.
His time schedule is usually a lot slower and a lot more purposeful. We have a tendency to go for the instant gratification. So, you know, creating purposeful pauses, even to the point where I worked with one lady and we moved her money to another bank because it was further away.
It was further away. Wow.
And it was out of her way, meaning it wasn't between her and work. It was the only time she was going to pass this bank was on Sundays when she went to church.
Mm.
Right. So that's just who we are. And that's just, when we get right down to it and we're honest about who we are and
better
what
habits, better behaviors.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You need to learn those.
Yeah. You need to learn those.
And practice those too.
You do. And then we need to, once we acknowledge them, then we can build a solution around it.
That's right.
If it's something as simple as, hey, we're going to make it so it's really hard for you to go to the bank and get money. Okay.
Right.
We created a pause of reflection and time for her to say, you know what? I don't need it that much because I'll have to get up and get dressed and put shoes on and get in the car. It's going to cost me gas. You know what I mean? So we created time for her to put that thought for that thought process to happen.
Good advisors are important. Good advisors who share your values and support your values, but influencers as well. And just being aware of what and who, and I guess what too, because again, you know, the phone, which is not really a phone anymore, right?
No, it's an all-in-one.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
I
remember when a phone was actually a phone, but it's not. I mean, it's just, so all these ideas that come in, they're influencers. And the places then that you put your attention is where, again, your money goes. And so your stuff just goes that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about then, you know, in the list of things that people can do, study, make sure to study the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're studying all the stuff that just sort of floats in from the internet or from who knows whatever source, right, then that influences us.
Not as good of a source as the Bible, I would say.
No, it's not. And that's one of the reasons why I really liked Compass, because all of the materials are rooted in the Bible.
Yeah.
It starts with the Bible and what the Bible says. And they do, and they do have tools for everybody. So there are people, because you're, everybody's in a different season. Mm-hmm. Some of us are in multiple seasons at the same time, you know.
Multiple seasons? How can you be at the same?
It's like, I'm in two places at once, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The paradigm here.
How can that possibly be? But you can be in a season of preparation. You can be in a season of wisdom. You can be in a season, even your season of wisdom can be giving and receiving of wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, we should actually, we should always, no matter how smart we are or think we are, you know, we should always be open to receiving other people's wisdom. We should never be cut off, no matter how good we think we are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
have to be careful though, what influence source we get that from though, right?
That's right. That's right. And you know, I think that looking at the resources materials that Compass has put together just blew me away. Again, it's rooted in the Bible. And then also too, there's a little bit for everybody. So there's moments, you know, for the people who need just those quick little videos or those quick little articles, but then there's small group studies for people who are like, no, I need some support. I need some other people to talk to. You can join a small group study and you can be on that with anybody from across the country. That's on, you know, some of them are in person. You can host one in person or you can jump on a Zoom one. I was just on one with somebody, a lady from Puerto Rico, you know, another gentleman from Ghana. So you just, but the story, the through line is always the same no matter what.
Yeah. And so people can go, there's a website, right?
Yes. So it's compassfinancialministry.org.
Compass. Just like the compass.
Yes.
Right.
C-O-M-P-A-S-S.
Compassfinancialministry.org.
Yes.
So it really sounds like Compass falls under the influencer category.
Definitely.
And the study category and the good resources category.
Yes.
Because it sort of checks several boxes all at the same time.
Yeah. And the other important thing too is this is a heavy lift, right? Financial literacy, getting a handle on your money, especially when you're in a deep hole and you don't know how to get out, it's a heavy, heavy lift and you don't have to do it on your own. And it's you just need the right person to walk alongside you. So George and I at Compass PA, like, we're here to help you. So whether you're a pastor that knows that his congregation needs this message and needs these tools, but they just don't, let's face it, they're wearing multiple hats. They don't, you know, they just can't add another hat. The whole thing's going to fall over and they're going to tip over. But, you know, George and I are here as a resource, a free resource to help walk alongside you, to help you. It's all about financial discipleship. So we want to find disciples in your church so that they can then multiplication, right? That's what God teaches us. To then go on and create more disciples and so on and so forth. And it just grows.
Right. So if somebody reaches out through compassfinancialministry.org and gets connected into a small group study, it sounds like as they work through this small group study, they might come out on the other side sort of being equipped to lead their own small group study. Is that how that works?
Definitely. They can go on to do more. So there's multiple studies that you can go through based on, you know, your needs. But then you can then go on and do your own small group study and host something within your church.
And the whole focus is to teach people about this relationship, how God is involved in this relationship that you have with your money.
Yes.
Yeah. That is the whole point.
That is at the core. That's day one.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. What does the Bible tell us about money and possessions? And it all belongs to him, to the point to where there's actually even a deed in there where you literally, when we were talking earlier about writing things down, that act of writing things down to where you sign over the deed of your car belongs to God. Your house belongs to God. You know, we think about how we treat other people's stuff. You know, if you borrow something from your neighbor, do you not take good care of it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If you're a good neighbor.
Well, if you're, right?
Bring you back busted souls and everything else.
So, but you know, if we look at our money and our possessions in that through that same lens mm-hmm. of this is not mine, this is somebody else's, and I need to treat it accordingly. That's right. Our whole perspective changes on how we think about how we think about the money.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, that really does involve a lot of heart stuff.
Yes.
In that regard, but you've led some of these studies.
Yeah, so I've done some in-person workshops and led a small group study, done a couple of them online. I personally prefer the in-person connection, especially when you're talking about money, just because of the emotional attachment to it. I think you get more out of it in person. So I'm really looking to get engaged with the community, to get involved in some nonprofits, especially if they're looking for I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but I'm a little excited about this.
Yeah,
so if you want other people to get excited about this, I would love to step in and be a cheerleader to give some overall general education and just get people passionate and excited about and feeling hopeful that they can do this, that they can. And here's where you start. Here's the how. That's what I'm really passionate about. That's where I think a lot of things get left out, which is the how. This is how you get started. Mm-hmm. And this is your next step. And you don't have to do all of this at one time. You just need to do this one or two little things.
But the most important is to take that first step.
That's the secret.
Yes. That's right. I think that's part of SMART?
Specific?
What do you mean? Action.
Oh, okay. Achievable.
Achievable. Mm-hmm. We added the word action.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you don't actually do something.
That's correct.
About it, nothing happens.
Nothing will get done.
Right. I mean, you could listen to this podcast 50 times, but if you don't actually.
But what if I listen to the podcast and I get that other app, that new budgeting app?
Right? Well, you still have to do something.
I still have to do something, right? Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because the budgeting app still requires you to do something with it.
That's right? Just a tool, just like money.
Yeah. So my smartphone doesn't fix it all. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And if you have piles and piles of assets, you still need the app. But then you need to do something with those assets. It's so important to really say, look, folks, if you're listening to this podcast, you have to do something and you have to do the right things. CompassFinancialMinistry.org, www.CompassFinancialMinistry.org is a great place to get started. And I think... Wow, the time just goes so quickly.
Yeah, we're kind of all out of time. But we appreciate you being here with us, Jennifer. It was such a great story. It's such a great conversation. And we hope listeners want to get involved.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.